shepherd cannot run at the first sign of danger. These were the words in a letter that Father Stanley, who was serving as a missionary in Guatemala, wrote to the people of Oklahoma in his Christmas letter of 1980. He wrote to them that a shepherd cannot run at the first sign of danger. The ongoing civil war in Guatemala had reached this little mountain village that they were at, and it was a civil war in which both sides had seen the Catholic Church as the enemy. Not just the church, but it was a blood-filled civil war. And when the military came to this little town, anyone who did anything or spoke anything that they found threatening, they began to disappear, including a lot of the parishioners from Father Stanley's parish. And he wrote those words in the Christmas letter of 1980, but within a couple weeks, everything began to escalate even more, and he found out that his name was on the death list. It was number 8. And so at the urging of his bishop, he reluctantly returned back to Oklahoma. And he returned in that winter of 1981 to the farm in which he grew up on. He was the oldest of 4 kids. He was a mass server in his parish. He went to the little Catholic school in their town. And after he'd finished high school, he announced, to the surprise of his family, that he was going to enter the seminary. They thought he would be the one to take over the farm. But he entered the seminary, and after a couple years, he failed out. He couldn't pass Latin, which I have a soft spot for, because I barely passed Latin as well. And my dad was in high school seminary at the Abbey in Richerton for a couple years. And among the reasons he got kicked out was he couldn't pass Latin. He failed it twice. I think my existence would have been very different if he was better at languages. But Father Stanley, he failed Latin. And they had him leave seminary. He couldn't pass. And so he went back to the farm. And he was a young boy just working on the farm when he was younger. But now he spent a couple years learning how to farm, learning the skills of farming. But his heart was very still much drawn to the priesthood. And so he was tutored by some of the priests in the diocese as well about how to learn a language, how languages work. And after a couple of years, he reapplied to seminary and was accepted. And after a handful of years, he was ordained to the priesthood. He spent 5 years as an associate and then volunteered for the diocese mission in Guatemala. He went down to the small town, which was filled with extreme poverty. And Father Stanley, he poured himself out for his people. He said that God calls us to hold nothing back. And he poured himself out for them. Every Sunday, he celebrated 5 masses at 5 different locations. Every year he had over 1,000 baptisms. He taught the people there. He taught them techniques of farming that he could teach them so that they could support themselves, and even starting a co-op so the people together could make a living off of the land as well. He defended them when they were being exploited. And he learned not just Spanish, but he learned the native tongue of this little Mayan tribe, which I can't even pronounce. It's called Tzotzil. He learned this language, which is spoken by only a few thousand people in this tribe. And this was the man who couldn't pass Latin. He learned it and he translated the New Testament out of love for his people so they could read the Gospels in their own language. He translated the New Testament into their language, the Tzotzil language. And of the 12 missionaries who went down when this mission was established after 7 years, All the others had left for one reason or another, and he was the only one to remain. But after 12 and a half years, civil war had come to this town, and Father Stanley found himself back on the family farm. And his brother recounted that during those winter months that Father Stanley was back, he would stand by the screen door in the farmhouse that was facing south, and he would stand there sometimes for hours looking south toward his people. And his heart longed to be with them. And he wrote to his bishop and he pleaded with him to be able to go back to the mission. He told his bishop that my heart is dead here, but where my heart is alive and where it lives now is with the people at the mission. The bishop gave him permission to go back just before Holy Week of 1981, where he celebrated the great mysteries of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection with them. And a few months later, on July 28th, 43 years ago this day, early in the morning when it was still dark, three people broke into the church and into his rectory, and they beat him and shot him and killed him. The next morning when his people found him, they gathered his blood which had been spilled so that none of it was wasted. And they sat in mourning and in vigil with him, crying out that they have killed our priest. His body was flown back to Oklahoma, but the people of the town asked if his heart could remain there. And his heart, along with his blood, was buried in what was the room in which he was killed, which became a chapel for the people. 7 years ago, he was beatified, made a blessed, the very first martyr in the United States of America. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Because it's the martyrs of all the saints who give the most powerful and compelling witness to the faith. That the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And there's a small little detail in this gospel from this morning. It's a small little detail in which after Jesus had performed this miracle, he had asked that all the fragments be gathered so that nothing would be wasted. Nothing would be wasted. And this, everyone, this is the truth of the life of this great martyr and his life and his death, but it's the truth of the way that God works in every human life. Because the witness of this martyr is one of his life and his death, but the little details even, the way in which nothing was wasted by God. Here he couldn't pass Latin, so 2-3 years back home on the farm, God didn't waste those years. Instead, it was there that he learned how to farm, which he would teach the people. He learned how to learn a language, which he would use in ministering and preaching the gospel in this tribe's native tongue. When he was forced to go back home in the midst of the Civil War for these couple months, there were many graces that came from that. But even one small little detail. He had Mass during those couple months that he was home, and there was a college student who was back and who was the server for this Mass. And this college student was deeply moved by this priest and just the simple holiness of him. And hearing a couple months later of how he had died for his people. And this seminarian was moved to enter the seminary, and he became a priest. And he became then a formator of the seminary in Rome, Monsignor Daniel Muggenberg, who, the little details, he was my formator in seminary for a while, the one whom the church entrusted to form me to be a priest. And now he's the bishop in Reno, Nevada. This little town, the little details, God wastes nothing. This little town, for hundreds of years, the Catholic faith had been there, and there hadn't been a vocation at all. After his blood was spilled, many young people, men and women, from this town, this tribe, entered the priesthood and the religious life. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, and God wastes nothing. He wastes nothing in your life. That which you think is wasted, that which you think has no purpose or meaning, if it's placed into God's hands, he wastes nothing. All that we give to him, and he asks that we give us his whole life. We think and we hold back little parts because we're like, well, he has 95% of it. No, he wants all of it. Why? Because he wastes nothing. All the fragments were gathered. Because he takes it and he transforms it through grace to work the incredible wonders of his kingdom even here now on earth. On this day of the anniversary of the martyrdom of Blessed Stanley Rother, I ask him to be with us here at this Mass and to pray for each one of you, that like him, you might hold nothing back from the Lord, trusting that everything you give him, none of it is wasted. All of it bears fruit in the hands of God.